You're listening to The Sports Moment.
May 10th, 2024.
Part of the Sports Moments and Memories with Craig Olson podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss a sports moment. Sponsored by Pemberton Law and Lake Area Docks and Lifts.
Well, what a day Thursday was in local sports. Section True Team competition in track and field, a number of baseball and softball games with some records set there as well. We'll be talking about some of that a little later on. But first, we're going to start with results from the True Team track and field meets that were held yesterday. In Section 6A, Kaya Fiskness of the Hillcrest Lutheran Academy girls track and field team broke a 29-year-old school record at the Anderson Schuler Invitational at NDSCS in Wahpeton. She ran a 58.49 in the 400-meter dash. Her time makes her the only Hillcrest girl to break a minute in the 400. Now, the old record was 60.10 by Mitzi Borner. And the boys and girls teams both finished sixth out of 10 teams in the Section 6A competition. Katie Holstner was a champion for the Comets in the 1,600-meter run. And Lucia Wales for Ashby Brandon Evansville had a good day. She was a winner in the 100-meter hurdles and the 300-meter hurdles. And she also won the 100-meter dash. So a great performance there by the Ashby Brandon Evansville track and field athlete. For Breckenridge, they won the 4x200-meter relay competition on the girls' side. Now, for the boys' competition, Hillcrest was led by Gabe Swedenberg. Gabe had a championship in the 400-meter dash. Matthew Knutson was a runner-up in the long jump for the Comets. For Ashby Brandon Evansville, Kenneth Spielman was second in the 800-meter run. Caleb Fugelseth was second in the mile competition for the Bolts. And also Border West had Julian Ortley win the 1,600-meter run and the 3,200-meter run. And they also won the 4x8 relay competition in that event and had the runner-up in the pole vault, James Buell, and the champion in the triple jump in Holden Rinke. Great performances at the True Team track and field meet yesterday in Section 6A. Now, in 8-2A, Fergus Falls wound up third in both the boys and girls competition. The Otter boys had a championship from Jaden Miller in the 800-meter run. Jaden was also third in the 1,600. Shane Zierden had a good meet as well, as Shane won the triple jump and placed third in the long jump. Andrew Muckow was third in the pole vault, and Leighton Drouillard was runner-up in the discus. The Otters also won the 4x800-meter relay competition in that meet. For the Otter girls, it was a good day. Again, their distance runners have had just an outstanding start to the season, and yesterday was again the same, as Este Versteeg was second, Cassie Wellman third in the 1600. Cassie was the runner-up in the 3200, and Sarah Grotberg was fourth in the 800. Este Versteeg was a champion, Carson Lill the fourth place finisher, and Violet McCann won the title in the 400-meter dash for the Otters, who also wound up second in the 4x100 relay and the 4x800 relay. The Otters with good performances in a number of events, including the high jump, where Ruby Ellison finished as the runner-up. Bjorn Anderson of Perham was a double winner, winning the 1600 and the 3200-meter run on the boys' side. And the Perham girls won the 4x4 relay and the 4x8 relay. And Gracie Morris was the champion in the pole vault. Kennedy Pilgrim, runner-up in the long jump. Jaden Hackle, runner-up in the triple jump competition. So lots of good stuff on the track and field scene yesterday. We'll talk some baseball and softball in just a minute, but first I want to talk about Pemberton Law Firm. They carry a legacy of trustworthy and reputable legal representation that dates back to 1883, and you can visit them in Fergus Falls, Wadena, Detroit Lakes, and Alexandria, or online at pemlaw.com. Lake Area Docks and Lifts is getting ready for a fun summer, and a fun summer at the lake. That's what's in store for us here in the coming months. They offer premium waterfront equipment, sales, service, and installation. Best quality and service at the best prices. Just ask your neighbor at the lake about Lake Area Docks and Lifts.
Lake Area Docks and Lifts, more than just docks and lifts. Lake Area Docks and Lifts.
Well, it has been quite a week for the Otter Tail Central Bulldog baseball team, and I was able to catch up with Ryan Hendrickson and talk about this record-setting week where the Bulldogs won their 11th straight game to start the season with a 16-4 win over Bertha U at Verndale on Thursday. And then they did lose to New York Mills in the completion of a game that was suspended due to the weather on May 2nd. Mills won 11-1 to end that 11-game streak. But I talked with Ryan about that and about Lane Dilley becoming the winningest all-time pitcher in Otter Tail Central baseball history.
Yeah, it really has been a pretty awesome season so far. What a ride. To get an 11-game winning streak is pretty awesome, but to open up your season with an 11-game winning streak is even better. Just gets you set up for success like that. So, the 11-game winning streak puts us just ahead of the pretty awesome 2015 Bulldog team where they had an outstanding pitcher by the name of Nick Trosdahl. Nick had 9 wins himself in that season. So, 11-game winning streak led by Lane Dilley so far. He's got 5 wins on himself. And, to complete 11 straight games in baseball is tough. You got to have the pitching to do it. You can't lose a beat along the way. And our defense has just been so solid. We've talked a lot about this year, how a defense makes our pitching look good and our pitching makes our defense look good. So we're really, really proud of 11 in a row and hope to start another winning streak. I told the boys yesterday, hey, if we start another 11-game winning streak, that might just bring us to the state championship game. So hopefully we can get on a roll with that one.
And Lane Dilley, what an outstanding year he's having for you. He's one of your captains and just doing it for you on the mound. In fact, a record-setting year or career for him.
Yeah, he's been such a treat to be around. The kid is just an absolute bulldog. He's been pitching since his freshman year. I look back, he had a win his freshman year. The pretty neat part about having a career win leader like that is he's your ace most of the time, and he's pitching against our toughest opponents all the time. We always look through the week and try to line up your 1-2-3 punches with your toughest opponents, and Lane has always been against our toughest conference or section opponents. So kudos to Lane Dilley. With his 15 career wins so far. And I probably got him slated for another 5 or 6 starts again this year. So he's had just an outstanding career. And now with every start, he's putting himself in an opportunity to raise the bar just a little bit higher. I mentioned Nick Trosdahl a little bit earlier. That's the pitcher who Lane just jumped. Nick Trosdahl had 14 career wins and probably the most dominant pitcher in Bulldog history. As I look through record books and whatnot, Nick leads strikeouts and innings pitched and all these other things. So for Lane to jump a pitcher like that is pretty special. It's just been a treat to be around Lane and get an opportunity to coach Lane for four straight years. And, you know, I wish him the best throughout the rest of the season. He, you know, we're going to ride his back a little bit, and he's going to bring us somewhere this year, I hope.
That's Ryan Hendrickson, head coach of the Otter Tail Central Bulldogs. They'll try to start a new streak tonight. Perham won a couple of games on Thursday by identical scores, shutting out Barnesville 10-0 in both ends of their doubleheader. And Frazee and Holly split in their Heart of Lakes Conference doubleheader, Frazee winning 6-4 in the opener and Holly taking the nightcap 5-0. Now, Fergus Falls was a 4-2 winner against Sartell yesterday, and that was a great pitcher's duel. It was 2-2 going into the eighth inning, and the Otters wound up getting the win. Hunter Powers launched a two-run homer to lift them to a 4-2 victory, and I did get an opportunity to talk with Shane Tilkey, the head coach of the Otters, about his team's performance in that much-needed victory over Sartell.
And you think about all the elements that go into any baseball game, winning or losing. It's, you can put those key points together, normally you're going to come out on the right side of it.
You know, this game is tough enough, and you've heard it said, I'm sure, that one of the hardest things to do is to hit a round ball with a round bat squarely, and the hitting is a challenge at every level. But when you're facing college commits on the mound every night, which you've been doing, the challenge really is even higher for your guys, but they seem to have handled that challenge pretty well.
Yeah, you know, we've seen really great pitching all year, dating back to the early games in the season. You know, we faced one of the best pitchers I've seen in high school baseball from Hutchinson, and we've started to understand that that's what the varsity schedule looks like in our conference. And I think guys have now just come to recognize when you face guys like that, they're always going to be right around the strike zone. So it gives you almost more latitude to be ready to swing. And whether you put the ball in play or you swing and miss, you got to kind of lock in mentally that you're going to see strikes tonight. And you got to go up there with that approach of attacking something that you can handle early in the count. And we've been getting better and better at that with the pitchers we faced. And last night was just a nice way to see the kids come through. And again, we didn't, you know, knocked the ball around the park the whole game. I think we only had 6 or 7 hits, but they came at the right time, and kids battled great at bats, and it's fun to see them get to come out on the winning end of that.
Well, take us through the game-winning hit, the scenario there that brought Hunter Powers into the limelight.
You know, it was we getting into extra innings, we got into their bullpen, which was, you know, good for us, because their guy was, like I said, he was pretty solid, and He navigated the game pretty well. And once we got into their bullpen, they brought a lefty out, and he didn't throw quite as hard. His stuff did still move. But Buckmeyer gets a leadoff walk, battled in a great at-bat, so we got a runner on right away in the top of the eighth. And I'm sure you know this as well as anybody. The book probably says in that scenario, you got a lefty-on-lefty matchup with a go-ahead run on first base with nobody out. We probably should lay a bunt down. And it went through my head right away, and I thought, you know what, Hunter's due. He's one of our stronger hitters that can hit the ball to a gap or possibly out of the ballpark. I haven't seen him hit a home run since probably 14U. And so I thought I'd give him a pitch or two and decide if we needed to go to the bunt strategy, and he took the first pitch out of the yard and made me feel really good about the decision.
Players make coaches look really brilliant sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they have that way about them. And Hunter, you know, I've got a lot of confidence in him, and I know he's puts a lot of pressure on himself to do well as a sophomore in the varsity lineup, kind of as an everyday mainstay there in the middle of the lineup. And, you know, he's seeing what it's like to battle against varsity level pitching, and he's been getting better and better in his at-bats. And we've told him just to be aggressive early, and, you know, you're not going to see pitches right down the middle for strikes. They're going to tickle the zone and work the edges, and you got to learn to battle those off. And so he's, you know, he's just getting more comfortable in that role as well. And it was fun to see it pay off for him last night.
Well, we better give your pitchers a little love too. I mean, they did pretty well last night. Ethan Grunwald and Carson Froning got it done for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Ethan Grunwald, I talked to him after the game, and I even sent his dad a message. he showed his experience last night. You know, he's been playing varsity baseball for 4 years. We brought him up as a ninth grader back when Coach Pearson was at the reins, and he's been a mainstay in the lineup, and you know, hasn't pitched a ton for us in the spring just because of the way things worked out. But we knew going into Sartell, we needed a guy that would throw strikes, keep him off balance, and just kind of have that grit about him, as I wrote in the article, that nothing rattles Ethan. I mean, he could walk three guys in a row or give up three straight doubles, and his posture, his demeanor is the same, and that really paid off last night. It settled everybody down behind him in the field, because you know, he gave up, I think, 10-12 hits and walked four or five guys, but they were all scattered throughout, and he worked at a good pace that keeps your defense engaged, and he got out of some jams by just, like I said, hitting spots, throwing strikes, and letting his defense make plays behind him, which we finally, you know, did for 8 innings last night. I think we only had one, maybe two errors, and one of those errors was maybe on a double play, and you never assume a double play anyway, so it's just baseball, that ball bounces one way or the other, and it came out on the right side of it, and then Karsten came in, and I mean, he was sharp. We could tell in his warm-up pitches that, you know, we brought him with bases loaded, two outs in the bottom of the seventh, you know, and that's a situation where a high school pitcher could get a little nervous and maybe end up walking in the winning run. And during his warm-up pitches, he was spot on, and we knew that we were going to be in good shape. And he got the first guy out on one or two pitches, popped him up on the infield to get out of the inning, and then in the bottom of the eighth, struck the first two guys out pretty quick, and he was right in the top of their order. So it worked out. Proud of the guys and really proud of our pitching for sure. And, you know, it's just nice to see all the pieces come together in a tough sighting. Sartell's a tough place to win. I think they had 17 or 18 seniors on their roster. And we had two sophomores in the starting lineup last night, so it was fun.
Well, it was tough, too, because you lost one of your coaches this week, Dave Sagerhorn, and that's tough to battle through, and the team needed that lift last night, maybe in more ways than one.
Yeah, you know, it's spot on, Craig. You know, these are things you don't prepare yourself for when you're going into a season. And the last, you know, week and a half has been really a roller coaster. And you know, Dave was our pitching coach. Dave and I have been coaching either against each other or with each other since Park and Rec League, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And we've been in the dugouts together for the last 8 years. And so working with all these kids you know, you have something like that come up in the middle of your season. You just don't know how people are going to react. And so Tuesday was a little tougher night for us, just that first night with an empty seat on the bus and not the same type of environment that we've kind of been enjoying for the last couple of weeks. But then last night the kids really stepped up, and super proud of them. You know, that's, you know, Dave Sagerhorn, that one was for him. And we're going to still get through it. It's not going to be easy, but glad that things went the way they did last night.
Yeah, tough couple of weeks for the Otters with the loss of Dave Sagerhorn, and he and Shane Tilke have been quite a coaching duo over the years, and certainly the influence of Coach Sagerhorn will remain with the people he has worked with, especially in the pitching area, but his loss will certainly be felt by the Otters as they complete their season here in the next few weeks. Well, softball yesterday saw the Otters lose an 8-inning contest to Brainerd. They battled one of the better programs in the conference over the years has been Brainerd, and they gave them a battle yesterday, but the Warriors won by a score of 11-7 in 8 innings in that game. Other softball, Rotsay and Brandon Evansville split a doubleheader, the Chargers winning 11-1 in the first game, and then the second game, it was Rotsay winning 15-4. And Crookston won their game against Pelican Rapids by a score of 10-4. Good day for the Twins yesterday. They won their fifth consecutive series. Manny Margot highlighted a 5-run first inning for Minnesota with a bases-loaded double off Seattle ace Logan Gilbert. And the Twins went on to win 11-1. Pablo Lopez pitched into the seventh inning, had a season-high 10 strikeouts to win his third straight start. He is now 4-2. Ryan Jeffers and Max Kepler each homered and drove in 2 runs. And the Twins are 22-15 now. They've won 15 of their last 17 games, and they are a game and a half behind Cleveland in the American League Central, tied with Kansas City for second place as they head north of the border to take on Toronto this weekend. Joe Ryan will pitch for Minnesota in the opener tonight against the left-hander Yusei Kikuchi. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, with a 2-0 series lead in their best-of-seven second-round Western Conference NBA playoff series, are home tonight at Target Center to host Game 3 against Denver, the defending NBA champions. And the Wolves are 4.5-point favorites in the game tonight. Rudy Gobert will be back in the lineup. I don't think the Nuggets will be able to overcome this deficit. I'll be surprised anyway if they do. But hopefully the Timberwolves have the same defensive intensity in Game 3 tonight and Game 4 on Sunday that they showed in Denver. If that's the case, they won't be going back to Denver for Game 5 because it will end in a sweep on Sunday. Hoping for the best there. That's an 8:30 tip-off tonight at Target Center. And how about the debut, the home court debut of Indiana Fever rookie and number one overall draft pick Caitlin Clark? The former University of Iowa phenom played in front of over 13,000 fans in Indianapolis last night for a preseason game. That's pretty incredible, especially when you consider that in their dates last year, their 20 regular season home contests, last year Indiana averaged just over 4,000 fans per game for regular season games. And in a preseason game, 13,000 plus last night. I think they're going to make some money in Indiana. Fans are going to turn out in droves to watch Caitlin Clark. Well, that's going to do it for our podcast today. Remember to check out part one of our Otter Hockey History podcast on Sports Moments and Memories. You can check it out on YouTube. Part one of a three-part series, and part two will be coming up within the next week to 10 days. But check out part one when you get a chance this weekend and pass the word on. And thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend.
You've been listening to The Sports Moment with Craig Olson, sponsored by Pemberton Law and Lake Area Docks and Lifts. Produced by Sunroom Lab. Music by Blue Red Roses. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and thanks for listening.